Now, this final book of the revelation of Jesus Christ, from one perspective, is no different than any other book of the Bible from Genesis right through. Because the title of this book is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And right through the Word of God from the opening book, that is the purpose of the Word of God. To reveal to us, yes, God in his three persons, but particularly to reveal to us the Lord Jesus Christ as the only Savior of sinners, as the only mediator between God and man, the only Redeemer of God's elect. The Apostle John, who penned this final book of the Bible, of course had seen the Lord Jesus in the flesh when he was here upon this earth during his public ministry. He knew what it was to be in the company of the Savior, to hear him speak, and to minister even with him. But when we get to this stage, of course, in the life of John, as we read the opening chapter of this book, we find he has been banished to the Isle of Patmos. He is a companion in tribulation, even to those believers to whom he wrote at first. In chapter 1 and the verse 9, he wrote, "I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ." And even though John was banished to that isle, yet the Lord appeared to him. And he penned the words of this final book of the New Testament. And of course, as all this was revealed to him, and as he penned these words, you and I are still benefiting tonight from what was revealed to the Apostle John. And as you read through this book of the Revelation, the Lord Jesus is set before us under many different names and titles. He is the faithful witness. He is the first begotten from the dead. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. But there is one description of the Lord Jesus that is found again and again in this book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. It is the Lamb. We have read here in Revelation chapter 5 of the Lamb slain. Yes, we read of him as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. But in the verse 12, you will read these words, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." As you go through the book, you will read of the Lamb being worshipped. You will read about the wrath of the Lamb. You will read about the blood of the Lamb. You will read about the book of life of the Lamb. You will read about the song of the Lamb. You will read about those who wage war with the Lamb. You will read about the apostles of the Lamb, the throne of the Lamb. You will read that the Lamb is the light and the temple, even in heaven. The Lamb is therefore central to the message of this final book of the Bible. And I want us tonight just to take those words in chapter 5 and verse 12 as our text, where we read those words, "Worthy is the Lamb." Worthy is the Lamb. And I want us to consider the Lord Jesus as the Lamb who is worthy. First of all, he is worthy of our worship tonight. Here in Revelation 5, as you read through this chapter, it is a chapter where worship is being offered to the Lamb, and where we discover that the Lamb is worthy of the worship of all creation. You will read in this chapter there in the verse 11 of how John beheld. And he heard the voice. First of all, he mentions the voice of many angels round about the throne. He mentions the beasts or the creatures. He mentions the elders. And there's a great multitude The number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Now you'll read, of course, of the 24 elders. And they represent God's people from Old Testament days and New Testament days. You will know in the Old Testament there were the 12 tribes representing the people of God. In the New Testament, it's the 12 apostles representing the people of God. And so the Lord Jesus is worthy of the worship of all his people. But not only all his people. If you look into the verse 13 of Revelation 5, it makes mention of every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them. Heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. In other words, the Lord Jesus is not only as the Lamb worthy of the worship of all his people saved by his grace and redeemed by his blood, but he is worthy of the worship of all creation and all his creatures. And he's not only worthy of worship for a limited space of time, he's worthy of worship forever and ever, for all eternity. If you were to take the time to read through Matthew's Gospel, for example, you will discover that when the Lord Jesus came into this world as the God-man, from his youngest days and right through to his public ministry, there were various individuals who realized and recognized that he was no ordinary man, that he was worthy of worship. Therefore, they recognized that he was God. Think of the wise men in Matthew chapter 2. Those wise men who came from the east. And they came asking, where is he that is born King of the Jews? And they pointed out that they had come with that purpose to worship him. They had seen his star in the east. They were come to worship him. And when you read in Matthew chapter 2, when they got to that place where the Lord Jesus was, and he was but a young child at that stage, yet what did they do? They fell down and they worshipped him. We think of others in the Gospel of Matthew, and indeed in the other Gospel records as well. And there were some who came to the Lord Jesus for healing. And as they came worshipping him. In Matthew chapter 8, in the verse 2, we read, "And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou couldst make me clean." And there was a man, and yes, he came with a need, but he came worshipping as he came to ask of the Lord. We also find in Matthew chapter 15, we read of that man called Jairus, whose daughter was sick unto death. And we read of how he came, and he came worshipping. And there are other individuals, and they came worshipping, they came asking the Lord for help, asking the Lord to meet them at the point of their need. We think even of the disciples, and if you would turn to Matthew 14 just for a moment, and the verse 33, and this was one of those occasions when the disciples were out in the boat. And in Matthew 14 and the verse 24, we read of how the ship was in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves. The wind was contrary. And in verse 25, the Lord Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him, they were troubled. They didn't realize at first it was the Lord. And yet the Lord spoke to them in verse 27, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. be not afraid. And then Peter, of course, asked, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee in the water. And of course, Peter came. And then he became afraid. He began to sink and he cried out, Lord, save me. And in verse 31, the Lord Jesus stretched forth his hand and he caught Peter and he said to him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And then the wind ceased. But it's the verse 33, and because of what had happened, we read then, they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. They recognized afresh that the Lord Jesus was the Son of God. They recognized he was demonstrating who he was, even by walking on the water. And of course, by permitting Peter to walk on the water, and then saving him when he began to sink. And of course, you get to the end of Matthew's gospel when the Lord Jesus has suffered unto death. He has been buried. He has arisen again. And in Matthew 28, in the verse 17, one of the occasions when he had appeared to the disciples as the risen Christ. And it says in Matthew 28 and 17, and when they saw him, they worshipped him. And so there's all these different individuals who had the privilege of seeing the Lord Jesus in the flesh. And they worshipped him. They recognized he was worthy of their worship. And tonight, as we gather here, we've gathered to worship the Savior. He's no longer upon earth in the body. He's in the glory. Oh, he dwells within each child of God by the Holy Spirit. And he is worthy of our worship. And when we get to glory, he will still be worthy of our worship. But you know, tonight there are so many and they worship a God of their own imagination, a God of their own making. There are those who really worship themselves, maybe worship possessions. And in the book of the Revelation, of course, we read of those who will worship the beast. Revelation 16, and the verse 2 says, and the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell an oysome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. There are those who worship those who are not worthy of worship. And that will be the same one. The Antichrist arises, but Christ, the Lamb, is worthy of our worship. The question is then tonight, do you worship Christ as the one who is your Savior? Have you turned from your sin and trusted him and can say, yes, I worship him as my Savior and as my God? Because if you're not saved, you can't really worship him until you turn from your sin. Trust in him as Savior. The Lord Jesus as the Lamb is worthy of our worship. And then I want you to think in the second place that he's worthy because of who he is. You see, in Revelation chapter 5, in the opening verses, John saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne this book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And the question was asked in the verse 2. Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? This book containing the record of God's eternal purpose and plan for this world and for the salvation of his people. And of course, John discovered in the opening verses, verse 3, that no man in heaven nor on earth, neither under the earth was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And this caused John to weep much in verse 4. And yet one of the elders addressed him in the verse 5, saying, weep not, behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The root of David hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And then in verse 6, John beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain. And the lamb in verse 7 came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he took the book in verse 8, the four beasts, the 24 elders, fell down before the lamb. And they sung this new song in verse 9. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. The Lord Jesus is worthy of worship because of who he is. The Lord is described not only as the lamb in this chapter, but as the lion of the tribe of Judah. And of course, he is described in language which is symbolic. Because we read there in verse 6 that he's the lamb having seven horns. And of course, horns speak of power. And seven, of course, is completion or perfection. Because the Lord Jesus, because of who he is, because he is the Son of God, he is all power. And we read of him having seven eyes. The all-seeing one, the all-knowing one, from whom nothing can be hidden. And it says of these seven eyes that they are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. Now we know there's only one Holy Spirit, but he's the perfect Spirit of God. And when the Lord Jesus, of course, had finished his work of sacrifice, and when he had ascended back up into heaven, remember in the day of Pentecost, he sent forth the Holy Spirit in great power. The Lord Jesus is worthy because of who he is. He is the one with all power. He is the Son of God. He is not only the Lamb there with the seven horns and seven eyes, but in verse 5, he is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Because he who was God, God the Son, in order to be the Savior, he came into this world as man. And he came, of course, from the tribe of Judah. He's described as the root of David. He came from the line of David. And he prevailed to open the book. He is worthy because of who he is. The one with absolute power who always existed is God the Son from all eternity. He took a body like unto ours. He humbled himself to come into this world as perfect man, perfect God, and perfect man. And he came, of course, in that manner, in order to save sinners such as you and I. God's great plan of salvation, to send his Son. Oh yes, to live for us, to suffer unto death for us, to arise again in order to save us from our sins. Tonight, have you recognized who the Lord Jesus is? Have you recognized who you are as a sinner in need of salvation, a sinner on the road to a lost eternity? And have you recognized that Christ is the only Savior, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world? Have you recognized that enough to turn from your sin and to receive him as your Savior? What think ye of Christ? That's the great question, isn't it? Do you know him as your Savior? Can you say, yes, he came? Came into this world to save me from my sin. And I have received him as my Savior. Christ then, he's worthy as the Lamb of our worship. He's worthy because of who he is. But of course he's worthy because of his great work. The great work that he accomplished. Here in Revelation 5 in the verse 6, as John beheld, and as he saw the Lamb He saw a lamb as it had been slain. Pointing, of course, to the great sacrifice of the Saviour. And in our text in verse 12, this great multitude in heaven is saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the lamb that was slain." The lamb that was slain. And of course, in verse 9, as they sung the new song, they're saying to the Lord Jesus, "The Lamb, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. Listen to it, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." The Lord Jesus is worthy because of the work that he came to do and the work that he completed, the work that he finished on the cross. God is a God who must punish sin. And if you and I were to be saved from our sin had to be dealt with. The Lord Jesus had to take the punishment for that sin by giving himself as the great sacrifice for sin on Calvary's cross, by shedding his blood to make atonement, to redeem us, to pay the price. Of course, he had to live the perfect life also to provide for us a perfect righteousness, because God demands that his law be kept perfectly. We as sinners, we break his law. But Christ kept that law perfectly for all who turn from sin and trust in him as Savior. We're told in verse 10 that those whom the Lord redeems by his blood, he makes us unto our God kings and priests. We shall reign on the earth. By nature, we're in bondage to Satan and to sin. But Christ paid the price to redeem us from the bondage of Satan and sin. Remember when Peter was writing in 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19, how he emphasized the blood of the Lamb. The work of the Lamb. How he wrote to those who'd experienced salvation, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." The Lamb, the Lord Jesus, is worthy of praise. He's worthy because of who he is, but he's worthy because of the work that he accomplished. And isn't it good when we look back into the Old Testament that we see that those who were saved before the coming of the Savior, they looked forward by faith to the coming of the Lamb who would be slain. We can go right back to Genesis chapter 4. And we can think of Abel, who was that keeper of sheep. And what did he do when he came and he approached unto God? He brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Don't let anyone say that the Old Testament saints were saved in some different way to what we are. Oh yes, they offered up the little lambs. But they knew that those little lambs and those other animals they offered could not take away sin. They but represented and typified the Lamb of God who would come to shed his blood and offer up himself as the only sufficient sacrifice for sins forever. I think also of Abraham. You remember that occasion when Abraham was asked in Genesis 22 by God to take his only son Isaac and to offer him up as a burnt offering. When Abraham went and with his son Isaac, in the verse 7 of Genesis 22, Isaac had a question for his father. He said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Of course, those words were prophetic. God provided his son as the Lamb of God, who would come and give himself as that offering to take away the sins of his people. And when the Lord Jesus did come, and when he was there beginning his public ministry in John chapter 1, John the Baptist was able to say to those standing by him, as the Lord Jesus came along, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Christ finished the work that his Father sent him to do, and therefore he is worthy of worship because of who he is and because of the great work that he has completed. And of course, he's worthy of worship because he continues the work of intercession. And tonight he's able to save to the uttermost all who come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. The question is tonight, are you trusting in the Lamb of God? Are you trusting in the work that he has finished? If you are, you can say tonight, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." And someday in glory you will say, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." What a terrible thing to know about the Lamb and yet not know him as your Lamb. Not have trusted him as your Savior. Oh, tonight, if you've never stepped out on the promise of God, as the hymn writer said, step out on the promise and get under the blood. The Lamb is all the glory in Emmanuel's Lamb. But remember, this book also sets before us the wrath of the Lamb. What a terrible thing it will be to experience the wrath of the Lamb. And for all who live and die out of Christ, that is what all who die out of Christ will experience, the wrath of the Lamb. May the Lord even cause us to realize afresh tonight that the Lord Jesus is worthy of our praise because of who he is and because of what he has done. Let's just bow in a word of prayer.